Let us turn again to the part of God's word read in Luke chapter 15. And let us read again and consider, as the Lord will be pleased to enable us, the words you will find in verses 8, 9 and 10. Verses 8, 9 and 10. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle, sweep the house, and search diligently till she find it. When she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbours together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found a piece which I had lost." Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. We have before us just been reading the 15th chapter of Luke, a very well known chapter in the Bible and the Word of God, where it speaks of finding what was lost, searching for what was lost and finding it, and the joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Intense, great joy over one sinner. There will be, as we know from the Word of God, 10,000 times 10,000 sinners, thousands of thousands. You remember when God was speaking to Abraham on one occasion, that he sealed the covenant to this good man, the covenant of grace, and made bound him up in that covenant of grace, as he did the heart of David. So the soul of Abraham was bound up in a covenant of grace with the Lord as his God. And he took him out of doors, out of the tent door, and it caused him, because it was night, to look up to the sky, and he saw the sky full of stars. And the Lord said, "The number of thy children shall be as the stars of the sky in multitude, as the grains of sand upon the seashore innumerable." He was talking of the number of in the covenant of grace. However much the psalmist in Psalm 17 would feel himself alone and encompassed by wicked men and men of this world and men who have their part and lot in this world alone, yet there will be an innumerable number. He will not be alone. He never was alone in the everlasting covenant of grace. He will not be alone now. He will be even less alone after the judgment seat, and those on the right hand are told, commanded to enter into the joy of their Lord. There will be an entire family. As the day utter speech today and night to night does knowledge teach, as the skies themselves, night and day, declare the glory of the Lord, so the multitude of the redeemed, those called by grace, those washed in the fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness, those sanctified by the word that is able to cleanse the soul that lies in sin, shall be an innumerable number. Shall be an innumerable. Who would count the number of the grains of the sand and the seashore? Who would even begin the work? And who would accomplish it? So it is with the redeemed of the Lord and the family of God in heaven and in earth, gathered at last around the throne of God and of the Lamb, an innumerable number. Without measure, as far as man is concerned, but everyone numbered by the Lord, his all-seeing eye upon them, his infinitely capacious heart, having their names written upon it, having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them unto the end. The parable here, it speaks of one. one returning prodigal, one coin, one lost sheep. Have before us the parable of the woman who, the householder who had lost one of her 10 silver pieces, silver coins. And it is an illustration of the mind that the Lord has concerning his people, concerning this great matter of salvation, this great matter of the covenant of grace, this great matter of redemption, this great matter of Psalm 40. He took them from a fearful pit and from the miry clay. And the number that no man can number, but all numbered in the mind and in the heart and upon the shoulder of the Son of God. The repeating theme is familiar to you, rejoicing. The shepherd rejoicing. The shepherd calling others to rejoice. The householder rejoicing. The householder calling others to rejoice. The father rejoicing. It is meet that we should rejoice. My son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. We notice three matters here as enabled. First is the lost coin. The lost coin. What is a lost sinner? How lost is a lost sinner? How profoundly lost? How utterly lost? How far off is the sinner, far off in the far country? Ye who were sometime far off are now brought nigh by the blood of Christ. The lost coin. And the debt that we owe to the Redeemer as a lost and ruined race. It's he that is doing the searching. It is upon his shoulders they are. It is in his heart they are. As a good shepherd cares for all his sheep and doesn't distinguish between one and another. Oh well, we can do without that sheep. It doesn't matter if it wanders away. That's not the spirit of a good shepherd, even in this, given the job of looking after sheep. He would care for all his sheep and know them all. Know when they were missing. Care that they weren't there. Seek for them if that was required. There is, thirdly, the sinner rejoiced over, rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repented. It's a great wonder. Is heaven not a place of rejoicing? Is the earth not a place of tears and sorrow and separation and sadness? I said of laughter, it is mad. We're born to trouble, as the word says, as the sparks fly upward. As you would set fire to a dry sticks or a few thorns, and the sparks fly upward, and then ashes left. So it is with the joy of this world, and the things of this world. They perish. They perish, not to be brought back again. They perish with the using. And if, as we were reading and singing in Psalm 17, they have their part, the wicked have their part and lot in this world, it's the only place they have it, then that perishes with the using, and what is left? What have they? You remember that picture in the Interpreter's House in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, where the man had a rake and he was raking straw and mud to himself very intently and very carefully. And Bunyan's Christian saw that over his head there was a crown of gold held out by an angel. But he was so busy He was so intent. He was so taken up with his business of raking straw and mud to his feet. He never noticed. Never entered into his head. He never looked up. That's the world. But here is something so significant, so blessed, so full of grace, so entirely grace itself. Grace for grace and grace to help in every time of need. That there's joy in heaven over one sinner repenting. Such a marvelous work of grace. Such a singular victory for the captain of our salvation. Such an overcoming for the Lord to bring such a people out of the shadow of death into the light of reconciliation and blessing. There's rejoicing in heaven. Something on earth causing the rejoicing in heaven. You could understand John's vision and revelation, saying how many gracious things were revealed to him in heaven, that if he relates those things in heaven, they would cause rejoicing on earth. That the Lamb, as it had been slain, was prevailed upon to break the seals of the Book of Grace, the Book of the Covenant. Great rejoicing. Rejoicing on earth. But here is something happening in earth. Cause is rejoicing in heaven. A few words then concerning this matter here. The lost coin. There were 10 of them, but now there are only 9. We take it to mean coins that are kept by the householder for use when required. And they represent the sinner, and they represent the lost state of the sinner. The coin is somewhere in the house, under the dust, or in the cupboard, or under the carpet. Something, somewhere, there is this coin. It is not in the hand of the householder. You know that coins have the figure of the king or the queen upon them. And what the Lord is telling us here, among many other things, is that here is a sinner. A sinner who was in his first covenant head, formed in the image of God, and had upon his very heart the image of the eternal God stamped, made in the image of God, in knowledge, a sure and certain knowledge of eternal things, a sure and certain knowledge of right and wrong, righteousness and unrighteousness, sure and certain knowledge of God's holy and divine law, which is in the heart of man from the very beginning. A certain knowledge of the way that God would have them walk. And knowledge, righteousness, a disposition to follow that knowledge, a desire to know it, a disposition to walk in the ways of the Lord. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? Well, as man came from the hand of his Maker, they were agreed. They were together. They were one. They walked according to the same law. They measured righteousness according to the same measure. Made in the image of God, knowledge, righteousness, true holiness. Not spurious holiness, not the Pharisaical holiness, not an impression of holiness for the sake of the Pharisee being thought to be holy, not a form of religion that denied the power of it, but true holiness. Be ye holy as I am holy. Adam first from the hands of God was had the stamp of the king. The stamp of the king. As you know, Satan entered in. Man fell from the estate wherein he was created by sinning against God. The stamp of the king was eroded but not removed entirely. We know that because we have the law concerning the man who knowingly, intentionally murders his fellow man. And it is said in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, that that man would answer for his murder with his own blood. And the reason is appended, for he is made in the image of God. An offence was done to the God who put his image upon Adam when the life of a fellow creature is taken away unlawfully. Fallen as he is, there is a mark upon him that he is lost. How lost is the lost sinner? Who can measure the lostness of a lost sinner? He's out of the hand of the householder. He is not under the hand of God. Day by day, they were without God. That's what Paul says. You were without God and without hope in the world. The covenants didn't cover them. That is the covenants that the Jews came under. The covenants didn't cover them. They were heathens. They professed to know God, but worshipping him merely offended the living and the true God. They were without God and without hope in the world. That's how it is with the sinner out of Christ. Jesus said, "My sheep are in my hands. They're doubly secure. My sheep are in my Father's hands. They're doubly secure." But here are sinners out of Christ, far off, the far country, lost, their feet ready to stumble upon the dark mountains. The coin is a lost coin. It's not being traded in things that it was intended. Man was there to glorify God and enjoy him forever. He's not enjoying God, doesn't enjoy his worship, doesn't enjoy his day, doesn't enjoy his word, doesn't enjoy the company of his people, does not enjoy the prospect of eternal peace and eternal Sabbath. Why, once in 7 days is enough and too much? Why should we look forward to an eternal Sabbath? And being delivered from sin. But then sin is a great satisfaction and a source of heart ease. The sinner is lost. The sinner's out of the hand of God. The sinner's not tradable in the things of this world, the things of the world to come, in the kingdom of God. He's out of the hand of God. He's a lost coin. There is a dust raised, taking a candle and taking a brush and losing one piece, sweep the house diligently till she find it, stirring up the dust in the corners, looking under the carpet, looking outside, inside, all over the house for this lost coin. It's the activity of God we have here. It's not the coin looking for itself. It's not the coin finding itself. It's the Lord searching for his people. That's the activity we find. It's an earnest activity. There's a restlessness about the activity. There's a not giving up or giving over until the coin is found. You remember that great example of the Lord himself seeking his lost coin of the woman of Samaria at the well of Jacob. The Lord himself, weary with his walk, sitting by the well of Jacob, weary for lack of food. The woman comes from the well to the well to fill her water pot with water, and the Lord uses this occasion to sanctify the occasion and to make it an occasion for finding a lost coin. It's a great stir. And the woman of Samaria comes carnally secure. Carnally secure. We have a religion. We worship in this mountain here. You've got your mountain, but we've got our mountain. You've got your religion, but we've got our religion. It's not assailing the religiously carnally secure. They might be very gracious in allowing you to have your own opinion, but as to shaking their opinion, well, that's another matter altogether. She was secure. She was content with her own situation in life. Sinner as she was, lost and ruined sinner as she was. The man thou hast is not thy husband. Sin at the very heart, and in the matters of the heart. That's the heart of sin, is the sin in the heart. Hard heart in relation to the Ten Commandments of God, an unrepentant spirit. The Lord had an earnest desire to redeem this lost and ruined sinner, and opened the way of salvation to her. This woman had a candle. This woman had a candle. Doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. She brings the light of the candle to bear upon this search. So did the Lord, sitting in the well of Jacob, seeking this lost soul. It must needs be that he would go through Samaria. He must, because he was the good shepherd seeking the lost sheep. He must, because he had in mind the return of this prodigal. He must, because there was a lost coin here that must be returned. Would not be Satan's all our days. Would not be Satan's for eternity. Would not be Satan's for a moment longer. For the Lord himself had come to redeem her. He had a candle. It's the candle of the Lord. It was the Word. If you knew the gift of God, that was a bright light in the whole dark situation. If you knew the gift of God and who it was that said unto you, give me to drink, you'd have asked of him, and he would have given you living water, a spring of living water welling up into everlasting life. First she misunderstood, she misread it. She read it according to her own ignorance. He said, oh, give me that water. I won't need to come to this well again. See how carnal the view of the carnal heart is of spiritual things. Very good, let me have the water. She didn't know what she was asking for. She didn't know what it was that she was needing. She had never tasted that the Lord was gracious. She had never hungered and thirsted after righteousness. But the Lord was gracious to her. He brought that candle in, let the light shine in a dark, dark heart. If you knew the gift of God. Oh, she says, we know that the Messiah must come. And when the Messiah comes, he will tell us all things. It was fine as a piece of doctrine, but it was far off from her desire. She had none of the prayers of the Old Testament saints for the coming of the Lord. She did not look out the window of the soul and say, what delays the feet of his coming? Like Abraham, he saw the day of Christ and he was glad. She could speak of the Messiah, but not desire him. Certainly not recognize him. The Lord is very gracious. He raises the candle of the Lord higher still. I that speak unto thee am he. That was the revelation. Look and look again, and look earnestly, and look prayerfully, and look heartily, and look cordially upon me, for I am the Messiah. I am the one promised in the Garden of Eden. I am the one desired after in the Song of Solomon. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. I am the one spoken of in Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. That he shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. I that speak unto thee am he. The Lord spoken of in Malachi shall suddenly come into his temple. I that speak unto thee, sitting by the well of Jacob, weary, hungry, alone. I that speak unto thee am he. The candle of the Lord. What a blessing the word is. What profound ignorance would prevail unless the word, the candle of the Lord, was among the children of men. Where would we be? Who would we consult? How would we know the way to a throne of grace? How would we know to taste and see that God is good, who trusts in him is blessed? Unless the candle of the Lord was among us. That's the word of God. Oh, send thy light forth and thy truth. Let them be guides unto me. A great stir. A sinner. He told me all things that ever I did. The light shone into a dark, dark, heathenish heart. The shadows of a former religion fled away. The desires of a carnal heart, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life were overcome by the presence of the Messiah. She became like Daniel of old, a soul of desire. O Daniel, a man beloved, a man of desires. Desires after the Messiah, desires after forgiveness, desires after grace. She came for water. She received the water of life. She came for that to fill her water pot. That she received a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's the Messiah finding one of his lost coins, impressing his own impress upon the heart, a true knowledge of the truth as it is in Jesus, not in a complete knowledge, very impartial, very partial, I should say, very partial, but true as far as it goes. A true knowledge of the Messiah. Come, see a man, she says, that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Christ? He must go through Samaria. The lost coin found. One other illustration, and that is of the Philippian jailer. He'd obeyed the orders of the magistrates. He'd taken Paul and Silas, and he had bound them in prison, wounded though they were by the many strokes and blows that had been inflicted upon them unjustly and publicly. He put them into the inner prison. He put their feet in the stocks. He left them without a word or an act of sympathy, and retired to his own place with his family. But an earthquake came in answer to the prayers and psalms and the worship of these two saints of the Lord in prison in Philippi. And the Philippian jailer, thinking all had escaped, made to take a sword and to kill himself. But Paul cried out, "Do thyself no harm." There was an authority. There was the candle of the Lord there. There was the candle of the Lord. And what the candle of the Lord showed to this poor man, that he was a self-murderer. That he had within his own heart the capacity to do away with himself, to hurry himself before the Lord, sinner as he was, unprepared, not having on the wedding garment, not knowing the truth as it was in Jesus, not knowing the power of sin and the wages of sin that is death. What a disturbance. And it was the Lord seeking the lost coin. For he cried out in his distress, "If I can't do away with myself, what shall I do?" And the Apostle Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." He lifted high the candle of the Lord, shine into the darkness of this poor man's soul, to lighten up his situation, to give hope in the midst of hopelessness, to give a found coin in the midst of lostness, to give a way back to the Father from the far country itself, to his very presence. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It was the Lord that was doing it. It was the Lord that was finding his lost coin. Paul was his faithful instrument. Silas was one who had access to the throne of grace. They were lights in the world. They were called of the Lord. They were following, running the race set before them, looking unto Jesus. But it was Christ himself who was in the jail in Philippi, taking of the things of the covenant of grace and demonstrating them to this poor man. "What shall I do?" he says, crying out of a sense of his lostness, entire lostness, utter lostness, complete lostness, hopeless lostness. "What shall I do?" Ignorant lostness. "What shall I do?" And the answer of reconciliation and peace, as though it was a voice from heaven, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." is the activity of the Lord Himself. He searching into the very depths as to where sinners are, coming to where they are. They would never reflect to themselves, come to him any more than the lost coin would come to the householder. They would never return to the sheepfold any more than the lost sheep would return to the sheepfold. But the Lord is gracious. The Lord is good. There is the candle of the Lord. I that speak unto thee am he. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Seek the Lord while he is to be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. Could the candle of the Lord be clearer? Could the welcome of the candle of the Lord be more welcoming? Could it be more clear in dismissing the darkness? Could there be a fuller answer to the cry of the lost, that lost soul, what must I do to be saved, than the one given to him? Seek the Lord while he is to be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. Even to the Philippian jailer, even to the woman of Samaria, he will have mercy upon him. To our God, for he will abundantly pardon. It is the candle of the Lord. We have just mentioned it, the debt that the human race owes to the Lord. He is the good shepherd who will find his sheep. He is a householder who sweeps and lights a candle and searches till she finds. He is the Father looking down the road, waiting for his returning son. 'Tis meet that we should rejoice. My son was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. You are dead to Christ. He was the second person of the Godhead, full of grace and truth. He too entered into a covenant of grace with his Father. In terms of that covenant of grace, he was born. A body was prepared for him in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and he was delivered of her. Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Emmanuel, God with us. And he grew up in this world, passed through this world as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, searching here and searching there for lost sheep, for lost coins, for those who are without God and without hope in the world. He took to himself a true body and a reasonable soul. And he is the one to whom the whole covenant of grace are indebted. Indeed, he is termed in Isaiah the covenant itself, the beginning and the middle and the end of that covenant of grace. He is the one of whom John 3:16 speaks, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We find this gathering of a people to himself, searching out coins that are lost, to be the very activity of his body and soul, body, mind and spirit. A great work was laid upon his shoulders, the work of delivering his people from the power and dominion of unbelief and from the shadow of the God of this world, who is the Prince of Darkness. You remember that parable that Jesus told of how a strong man will keep his house until a stronger than a strong man come, and then stronger than the strong man will cast out the strong man and take possession of the house. He's speaking there of lost coins. They're under the power and authority of the God of this world. He is a strong man. He was stronger than Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And now that they are fallen, he's stronger than any of the fallen race of Adam. But the stronger than the strong man came, taking to himself a true body and a reasonable soul, and he lived out his days. His pleasure was to save sinners and to find the lost coins, to overcome the strength of the strong man, and be as the one who is stronger than the strong man, setting up house in the hearts of sinners. He had a great work in the matter of salvation. Yet we find that this is delight to the very end. He has arraigned before the religious court of Annas and Caiaphas, found guilty and worthy of death. He's arraigned before the civil court of the Herod and of Pilate, and he is delivered over to the soldiers to be crucified under the powerful constraint of the scribes and the Pharisees. Crucify him, crucify him. He is made to bear his own cross outside the gates of Jerusalem. It's all for his people. It's all for their deliverance and their salvation. It's all that they might be found, that the lost coin would be brought back again, that the lost sheep would be found and brought back rejoicing upon the shoulder of the Good Shepherd. It's to this end. He is crucified between two malefactors. He suffers from his tormentors. He suffers from the devil, firing fiery darts at him as he is suspended between heaven and earth. He suffers the sword of divine justice. He suffers alienation, in a measure and degree, from his Father. Why hast thou forsaken me? But he never forsakes and never loses his taste, as it were, for finding the lost coin. For one of the thieves, beginning by railing upon him, then is constrained by a breath from heaven above, even while upon the cross, to turn and to say, this man has done nothing amiss. This is our desert, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he says, remember me, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom. Put the stamp of thy kingdom upon my heart. Sinner, a sinner's heart though it is, and all but lost sinner's heart though it is, in the very lip of a lost eternity. And he finds Christ, the great searcher for lost coins still. Today, he says, thou shalt be with me in paradise. So they go together. The lost coin in the hand of the Saviour himself. They are to go together to heaven. that kingdom which Christ himself has earned by his sacrifice and death. He earned it by the pain he suffered, by the burden of the sins of his people that he bore, by bearing the crown of thorns he is yet to bear, the crown of gold, by bearing the reed of mockery instead of a scepter, he is to hold the scepter of his own righteousness over all his own people and bring them to that kingdom, each one of them, one by one. Notice the activity of Christ, that we might be humbled. That's what the apostle expects the effect to be. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you that was in the Lord Jesus Christ, who though he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet took upon himself the form of a servant and was obedient unto death, even the accursed death of the cross. Wherefore God has given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue proclaim that he is Lord. That he is Lord. We have finally here the sinners rejoiced over. When the world was created, it was rejoicing among the angels. The sons of God rejoiced. A great work was being done, a glorious work, displaying the power and the might. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord, the skies teach his handwork, day utter speech to day, and night to night does knowledge teach. No wonder the angels shouted for joy. Display of the majesty, the power, the wisdom, the good order of God. Christ was born. The shepherds were in the fields looking after their sheep. The heavens were suddenly filled with angels, their ears filled with the anthems of heaven itself. Peace on earth, they said, goodwill toward men. Go and see the sign of the child, the infant of days, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. He was the beginning of a kingdom that would be infinitely, eternally glorious. If the world deserved the anthems of praise from angels at its creation, why here, when Christ himself was come to seek and to save that which was lost, to continue his work, his great work, his work of grace, until he was finished it. And that kingdom of heaven was created. The kingdom, that was John's, the Baptist's theme. The kingdom of heaven has come. The kingdom of heaven is coming. He was to make crooked places straight, rough places plain for the coming of the kingdom of heaven. Well, the shepherds could go and see the one upon whom it was based, an infant of days, wrapped in spotless clothes, laid in a manger, and the heavens full of the praise of the angels. It was a kingdom being set up. The king himself had come to seek and to save those that are lost. And now we have the angels again. Here is a sinner saved, one sinner saved, one brand plucked from the burning. One sinner to whom Psalm 40 applies, he took me from a fearful pit and from the miry clay. And heaven bursts into song over the redemption of this one sinner. What a work of grace, a at a work of immeasurable blessing, at a work of momentous work, the godliness that is profitable for all things, having the promise for the life that now is and the life that is to come, the birth of a child of grace. Just as when a child is born into the family, the whole family, they might be in Australia, they might be in New Zealand, they might be half around the world, they might be very busy, they might have many concerns, but when they hear of the birth, the safe birth of the child, then there's joy in their hearts, relief. If they have the ear of the Lord, there's thankfulness to God, however far away they might be. So there is joy in the family of God in heaven and in earth, that family that is named by the name of Jesus. Joy over the birth of one sinner, one coin found that was lost. It was meet that we should rejoice. The coin was lost, and now it's found. The sinner was dead, but now is alive again. The sinner was far off, but is now brought nigh. Ye who were sometime far off are brought nigh by the blood of Christ. It was meet that we should rejoice. Nothing unnatural. No, nothing empty. Nothing void of substance in this joy. It's true family joy in the family of grace. A sinner saved by grace. And the family of grace rejoice. Every child in that family, every angel, unfallen angel, rejoicing in that birth. Well, my friend, it is evident that this was a great matter as far as the Saviour was concerned. He came from heaven to sit in Jacob's well and to call, find this lost coin. He ascended the cross, and one reason for his ascending the cross was to address terms of reconciliation to a far off lost coin. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. It's a great matter in heaven, the angels rejoice. Give full-throated rejoicing, so that heaven cannot contain it, and the very, very heart of the Saviour hears it. Rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. If it's such a great matter in heaven, may we ask, may we inquire at the door of your own heart, is it a great matter with you? Is it a matter of moment? Is it a matter of weight? It is a matter of urgency to seek the Lord while he is to be found, to call upon him while he is near. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. May the Lord add his blessing. Let us pray. Eternal and ever-blessed One, look down upon us in mercy. May thy Spirit take of the things of Christ and show them unto us, as the Word preached with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Take us to our homes in safety. Pardon our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.